Hello, hello, hello. Is there anybody in there?
Okay, that's enough. Hi, everyone. I'm Manon.
And I'm Melody.
And you're listening to Spill the Red Rum, a true crime podcast. In this podcast, we dive into the most heinous real-life cases from all over the world, from murders to serial killers to cults and everything in between. We also remember the victims that were affected.
So we're two sisters who love everything true crime, so you know you're in for a good crime.
Pun intended.
So the contents of this podcast might be found as disturbing and sensitive to some listeners. Please proceed with caution. We also have the sources listed on our website, spilltheredrumpodcast.com, if you'd like to check them out. And on Spill the Red Rum, we strive to deliver the most accurate content. However, it might be difficult to verify the credibility of the listed sources. We've decided to add this disclaimer.
As a little disclaimer, yeah, we wouldn't want... I mean, we can only give information that is from our sources.
Exactly. And I think the reason that I wanted to put this disclaimer out so is because the case that I'll be diving into, the sources are just all over the place. Like, it had to take me so much time to dig and find the most accurate and try to...
And is it, like, contradictory?
Yep, there's a lot of... There's even the names being mixed up.
No.
So, at one point, a person's name was said to be the older sister, and then one person's name was said to be the younger sister, and the spellings were all messed up. But, like,
We pull through.
Yeah, exactly. And shout out to my true crime peeps. They suggested that we try to put a disclaimer mentioning about... the credibility of the sources, just so we will list our sources, but just so if you feel like something does not seem to be adding up, I have taken multiple sources, and I think this is the most amount of sources that I've taken to verify.
Whoa.
Just to make sure that I get as much accuracy as I can.
That's fair, yeah.
Yeah. So, would you like to know, Manon, about what this case is about? Any... Like, take a guess.
Give me the country.
So, for the first time, we're going to be going back to our roots.
Ooh, are we going to India?
Yeah, we're going to India.
Amazing.
Yeah, so we don't, I mean, Manon and I don't really live in India. And we've barely lived in India.
Yeah, we only lived there for like 4 years as children.
Yeah, so, I mean, honestly, for the script of this, it had to take me some time to, like, get used to the pronunciation of some of these places.
That's fair, yeah.
But, yeah, we're going back to India. Not a place that we're familiar with or we know pretty well. But
where is it?
So, it's in Andhra Pradesh.
Oh, okay, that's not too far from us.
It is a bit far.
It's not that far, it's like... Okay, we're kind of from all over, yeah, like South India.
I think we should make that very clear. So, we're from a lot of places in India.
So, actually, Andhra Pradesh is the only place where we're not from in South India.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Because we're just from everywhere that it's so hard to like pinpoint. Like, when Manon was saying that, yeah, it's close to where we're from. I'm like, from which place, though?
It's basically in the middle of everywhere we're from. So, yeah.
So, yes, this is from India, Andhra Pradesh. And this is a case... of a double murder.
Okay.
And this is about a family.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Keep it in the family.
Yep. So it does drive close to home because it's from India. And plus, it is about two sisters.
Okay. Oh, wait. What?
Sorry. Yeah. So yeah, it's pretty sensitive topic.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that we'll hear a lot about the US crimes more than anything because it's so sensationalized.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, I'd love to hear more Indian crimes, to be honest.
Yeah, I think definitely like jumping into this super quick and explaining, let me take us through what the story is.
Sure, let's get into it.
So while I'm not sure if everyone's heard about the Burari murders, because there's a documentary about it on Netflix,
yeah.
It's a pretty... famous family crime that had happened in India, or let's say the French family that had a mass suicide in Switzerland that had happened. But with the greater awareness of cults now, it seems like there might be more control in being taken by like family cults, you know, mm-hmm. in terms of control of beliefs of things in the developing world, especially, let's say, if some families are not as progressive with the world right now, they might want to take more control over things. So in the same way, the media tends to portray cults as people who believe in superstition and extreme rituals that might at times be true, but they're not all the scenario.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, we only know like the really, really famous cults, like the NXIVM.
Charles Manson.
Then there's also
there's also the LDS Church.
What's the one from India though? The Wild Wild Country one.
Osho,
yeah. So I grew up in Pune, and we had the.
You didn't grow up in Pune.
Okay, I didn't grow up
you
in Pune.
You did your
okay,
college in Pune. Whatever. one more place of where we're from.
And basically, we had like the Osho commune in Koregaon Park, which wasn't too far from my college.
So you didn't have it. It was in Pune.
Okay, yeah. I should censor myself a little bit more. But yeah, basically, we used to see them like riding around and stuff, but now they're super low-key.
Riding around on what?
On like their scooties.
Oh, okay.
And wearing their robes.
Oh, I'd really love to go check it out just to see and understand. Like, I mean, it's not, again, separate topic about cults.
Yeah.
We will cover some episodes more about cults. But again, in India, the media does tend to believe that the behavior of, you know, members of cults are usually done by people who are not literate.
Not educated.
But it's less than likely for them to expect a well-educated person to be involved in these sort of crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And these sort of beliefs are basically linked to, like, let's say, scientific theories or old texts. Now, obviously, in India, people do, if they research on religion, it's about philosophy, scriptures.
Yeah.
And it is more people who are highly educated who want to learn these things. Right?
Yeah.
And especially knowing cults, there's always about wanting to explore yourself, scientific beliefs, and just a little hint of doomsday. So
that's a sprinkle, a garnish of doomsday.
So the story I have for you today is about a family in Madanpally.
Madanpally.
Yes, Madanpally. Okay. Honestly, my pronunciation, like I said, is going to be screwed up throughout this session. My pronunciation with English sometimes is so screwed up. And the superstitious beliefs that led to this case that we will be discussing today.
Okay.
Starting with the day of the crime.
Mm-hmm.
At 8:15 p.m. on January 24th, a Sunday, 2021, at Madanpally Rural Police Station.
Wait, 2021? That was like last year.
Exactly. This is a fairly recent case. So
wow.
Yeah, okay. Very, very recent. So the Madanpally Rural Police made their way to Madanpally, the location, in Chittoor district in Andhra Pradesh, a house owned by Purushottam and Padmaja Naidu.
Okay.
Okay, so they're a couple. So the couple lived with their two daughters, Alekhya, who's 27, and Sai Divya, who's 22.
Okay.
The police rushed to the Naidu residence after they received a call from neighbors and from another concerned friend of the father at 8 p.m. The neighbors complained that they heard loud sounds and chants and noises like someone was being tortured coming from the Naidu's house.
That's just terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty scary.
I would pack up my shit and move.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just happened one day.
So,
the police forced their way inside the house to find the scene that they least expected. When they entered, they made their way through the house and they first found Purushottam, who's the father, sitting on the couch in the living room in like a trance-like state. They then began to search the rest of the house. They found the body of the eldest daughter, Alekhya, in the puja room.
Okay.
And some of the, just for people who probably don't know, in India, there might be some rooms that you might have that you'd create like an altar where you do pujas, which is a form of prayer in Hindu religion. So she was there on the ground floor and when she was found, and she had a deep injury on her forehead and she was wearing like a red sari over her face that was put.
Okay. Okay. Almost like someone covered her?
Yeah, like her face was kind of covered. But there was also, later I'll take us through what else was found around her. So then they made their way upstairs to the bedroom and found her sister, Sai Divya, in a pool of her own blood. Now, I found conflicting reports about this, whether in some reports they said that they were naked and some said that they were with a red sari that was wrapped around Sai Divya.
Okay.
So, again, conflicting. I'm going to be mentioning the points where I find conflicting evidence. Okay. Yeah. So, and there was a copper object that was stuffed in their mouths. Also. Okay. So, they then found Padmaja, who's the mother, sitting on the bed and looking at the wall. She didn't seem to be aware of their presence. And Padmaja then, when she did realize that they were there, she flew in a fit of rage and stated that the police had interrupted the ritual to be resurrected of their daughters the next day.
Okay.
So that they would be coming back to life the next day. So she pleaded to the police to give her another day for them to come back, since they brought demons into the house by interrupting the ritual.
Okay.
Yeah. So she blamed.
It's all just not making sense right now.
Yeah. So she blamed her husband as well for destroying the ritual because, and we'll come into how she believed that her husband was interrupting the ritual or destroying the ritual. After a lot of struggle, they were finally able to take the bodies to the hospital for postmortem.
Okay.
Yep.
So they ignored her request for them to give time
for the bodies to be resurrected. So what do you think of it so far?
I don't know. It seems very similar to the Burari murders.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, over there, they all were hanging. Over mm-hmm. here, it seems like some sacrifice thing and they're waiting for...
Just for everyone to know, right now, Minon is so speechless. Like, she's trying to figure out...
I actually have no idea what to say because I feel like anything that I would say would sound like, not offensive, but...
Like, you have no idea what to say, right? Because yeah, you just because don't know...
There's nothing that can really explain this.
Yeah. So I'm going to take us through the investigation and then we will be going into the psychology of this because I love to go over the psychology of these things.
Okay.
But so now there's a lot of things that you're going to find weird about this case.
Okay, I'm preparing myself.
So the police couldn't really start questioning the couple immediately since they were still in a state of shock and mm-hmm. and trauma and kept chanting. So as in for the puja. And as the police started questioning the parents, they said that in killing their daughters, it would give them a sense of rebirth by sacrificing them as part of the ritual so that their daughters would come back.
Okay.
Okay. An important thing to remember at this time is they did not take Padmaja and Purushottam to the police station yet. The police had kept questioning them in their own house. And they started the forensic investigation alongside.
That is really weird. Wouldn't you take them into custody at first?
There's a lot of weird things you're going to find out about this case.
Because I feel like that's the first thing. Like, also, aren't they like technically contaminating a crime scene if
they're still hanging around?
If they're still hanging around there.
Yeah. I think it's also because of the mental state of them and that they were refusing to leave. But they just pursued doing the investigation and interviews through there. So they told the police that they had received signals from heaven that they had a house of miracles, that they were blessed with this house of miracles. And the parents were kept under some sort of observation for a little while until they could assess whether they required like a psychological treatment or what was required from them. Like, should we take them to jail? Should we take them to a mental hospital? What do we do?
Yeah.
So as the police continued the investigation, the CCTV footage from close by buildings was collected to verify if there were any outsiders
who were involved, yeah.
Who may have been involved in the deaths of their daughters and could have caused the parents to go into a hysteria.
Yeah.
Right? So they also tried to gather as much information as they could from neighbors, family and friends, or anyone that they could gather anything from. And from the information gathered from the CCTV footage, it was confirmed that there were only 4 people at the time of the incident in the house.
No one came in, no one got out.
It was just the 4 of them.
Mm-hmm.
So this made them dismiss the fact that anyone else was being involved in it. Like, let's say a guru told them to do it or made them do it.
Mm-hmm.
So they also tried to find out if they visited any ashrams or temples. But as per CCTV, like, just to show if they had gone out of the house in the recent times.
Yeah.
But no, there was no one had entered or left the house.
That's really weird.
Yeah, so it was also a shocking fact to find out by this point. Like, basically, the police had not sealed the house and relatives were coming to the house.
Stop.
Yeah.
That is like rule number one, do not contaminate the crime scene.
Yeah.
So there were relatives and neighbors like, oh, what's going on? Oh, like, no. Ooh, like,
they should have like barricaded that stuff and like.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So this is what was.
And the family, like, and the parents were still in there.
Yeah, and still in there.
It's kind of weird that they didn't take them into custody.
Yeah.
Like, despite if they needed like a medical examination
mm-hmm.
or, you know, to be checked by a psychiatrist or something, they would still need to be in custody.
Yeah. Though I do think that this is a weird case. Like, I mean, I don't think this happens frequently in India.
Fair, but at the same time, there is protocol when it comes to this stuff, right?
There is, but yeah. Probably they were also, like, the police was also pretty confused. And this is a very small part of Andhra Pradesh.
Yeah,
so
okay.
The police force, I definitely don't think were prepared for this sort of case. So not just prepared, but how do they handle this case?
Yeah, I think also, maybe if it was a small town, I'm not sure. Maybe this stuff doesn't happen that often.
Yeah, it doesn't happen anywhere that often.
Okay, yeah, but like, you'd expect like in a big city like Bombay or like Delhi, there would be a lot more manpower and there would be more frequent.
Exactly, cases. And that's why I believe that maybe that's why there was this margin of error.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
For it. So during the investigation, the detectives come to find out that this was some sort of spiritual suicide pact and that the parents too would have killed themselves if the police had not shown up.
Okay.
As a way for rebirth.
Yeah.
So they kept probing the parents and the father seemed to be more inclined to share information.
Mm-hmm.
So the couple also shared that Sai Divya, who's the youngest daughter, seemed to be harboring thoughts of death and like a phobia of death after she stepped on a rangoli on 20th of January. So it seemed that...
So basically a rangoli is... A formation of colors.
A formation of colors.
I think
colors.
That, like...
It's basically a form of, like, decoration, I would say.
Yeah, decoration that they do for, like, certain festivals in India.
With grains of, like, not sand, but, like, let's say... It's, like, colored grains. They make, like, designs out of it. And they
yeah,
usually do
very
that
symmetrical designs. You can... we're not Hindu, so you can see how badly we're explaining this.
Yeah. I don't think this is a Hindu thing. I think it's an Indian thing.
I don't think it's an Indian thing. I think it's specific to a religion.
Okay.
So isn't it? I don't know. I think it is.
Okay.
We don't do that.
We leave it at that.
Yeah.
Mystery. So it seems that she had also tried to leave the house and tried to jump off the terrace, but her parents had stopped her. And they believe that she had an illness as... They were convinced by Alekhya to perform a sort of puja to cure her, which included them all dying and coming back. I think because she felt like a way of wanting to commit suicide because of certain things that maybe they thought she was ill.
Yeah, I also feel like this is where
mental health is
just not
yeah.
a thing in India, like still.
Yeah, it would have been better if probably... But I'm going to take you through a lot more that I think it really does explain some things, but it also does not explain some things.
Okay, because right now nothing is making sense.
Yeah. So a sadhu, who's like a priest or a guru, had come to the house on 23rd of January. This is 3 days after stepping on the rangoli and 2 days before the actual murder had... Sorry, 1 day before the actual murder had happened.
Okay.
Right? So... He had come to the house to perform some rituals and tied amulets on the hands of the family members. And then the principal of Purushottam's college, D. Rayapati, had said that he had received a request for leave from Purushottam. That's the father of
Is he a professor?
So, yeah. So, he's a professor. Yep.
Okay. I don't think you mentioned that. So
yeah, and I'm going to be mentioning all of that. The family history. Okay, fine, fine. So, he had received a request of leave from the 19th till the 26th of January.
19th to 26th. Okay.
Yeah.
It's a whole week.
Yes. Since he had some sort of puja going on at home. And 2 days prior to the end of his leave, he called one of his friends and close associates. Now, the names of the associate is, I found on two different, completely different people are mentioned on these sources.
Okay.
So, I'm not going to mention their name, but had told them the details of the crime. And because of his guilty conscience, he had called this person up at 7:30.
In the morning?
7:30 p.m.
Okay.
And that's why at 8 p.m. the police arrived at the house.
Okay, fine, fair, fair.
Yeah. Basically, then Purushottam told the police that the sequence of the crime that had occurred in the house.
Okay.
So he revealed that his younger daughter, Sai Divya, was killed first by her mother on Saturday afternoon at 2:30 p.m. So on the second floor, and she was smashed in the head with a dumbbell.
What?
He said that basically this, it was pretty ghastly, the whole way the crime had been done. So he said that Padmaja believed that there was an evil inside her daughter's head and that she had to break it open. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm just in shock.
Yeah, I'm just pausing because I can see Minon's face.
That's your own child.
Yeah. So throughout this, Naidu, that is Purushottam, was ordered to ring a bell continuously while the ritual was going on. This is while Alekhya was chanting mantras at 4 p.m. This is about almost 2 hours after the crime.
After the crime was
on committed. The first floor. So during the puja, she was wearing a red sari, which was what she was found in. Once it was over, Padmaja, the mother, bludgeoned Alekhya with a trident. Now, trident is like a fork-like...
She stabbed her?
Yeah. So she had bludgeoned her with the trident, and both weapons of murder were found next to the victims. The father also revealed that they used the trident and the dumbbell to kill their daughters, believing that the items to be Lord Shiva's Damru and Trishul. Now, Lord Shiva is one of the Hindu gods, and a Damru is like a drum.
Okay.
So the dumbbell.
Yeah.
And a Trishul is kind of like a...
A fork.
A trident. Yeah, okay. It's kind of like a spear. Okay. That's what it is. So Padmaja stated that it was the end of Kali Yuga, and by killing their daughters, it would cause a rebirth of purity of the or a purest form of themselves, which is Satyuga, on the next day. Now, Kali Yuga means that it's basically the end of a particular era.
Okay.
Prior to rebirth, which is like the end of all evil.
Yeah.
And then, or not all evil, but like the current state of what is going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Satya Yuga is considered as like kind of doomsday. Kind of like a rebirth and a cleansing of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he also said to the police that his wife had committed the murder and he was just a spectator in shock of what had happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Padmaja also shared that we are spiritual and we believe in spiritual practices. Our elder daughter Alekhya too is spiritual. We have done all required practices for the last 1 week. She also claimed that they had seen the results from these rituals, which had been prior performed. So Padmaja claimed that her daughter Alekhya was alive for a couple of hours, even after her head was broken. And that proof was, and these were basically a sign of proof that it was working. We've done such processes before. We get messages from God, she added.
That poor girl must have like died such a slow death.
Yeah. So the family did believe though that Alekhya had supernatural powers.
Okay.
And if you remember from what I mentioned before.
Yeah, yeah.
When Sai Divya was ill, Alekhya had told her parents about doing this sort of puja.
Okay.
Yeah. So, At the crime scene, the police found a picture of Meher Baba. That is basically one of the prophets that some of the Hindus pray to. And especially after going through the social media posts and found signs of like spiritual inclinations of Alekhya. And they also found books and photos of Shirdi Sai Baba and Osho in the house.
Okay.
Yeah, funny enough, you mentioned Osho earlier.
Yeah.
So, during the autopsy, it was found that both daughters had been found bludgeoned to death with a blunt weapon and cracked the skulls open with a heavy object. This was identified as the dumbbell in Saidevya's case and the trident in Alekhya's case. A couple of articles were also had mentioned that it was swapped around, that
One of them, the other one was...
Yeah, bludgeoned. With the trident. And then some of them mentioned that it was both weapons that were used on each of the victims.
Okay.
So, but the consistency of it, of what I found is this.
Okay.
So I'm just mentioning this here. So there was also puja materials, that means the items that were used for the prayers, mm-hmm. Which were found near the bodies. And I'd also read some articles that their head was tonsed. Now, you must be thinking, what must
be
tonsed?
I've never heard that word before.
Yeah, so honestly, when I read it, I thought, do they mean tortured? But it's like, no. So, the heads had been shaved as a sign of offering to give the hair.
Okay.
But also, it is shaved in a way where it looks like a monk.
Oh, so they leave a certain part of the head.
Yeah, so they shave like part of the head.
Okay.
Yeah. So, as per news articles, a helper...
And this was after they had died? This was performed after they had died, or...?
Yeah, I don't think they would have shaved their head willingly earlier.
I mean, they could have.
No, so it was
after... In an effort to, like, follow the ritual.
No, so it was after the murder that they had shaved their heads.
Okay.
Yeah. Again, it could have been before. There's nothing mentioned about when it was.
It just said that it was the case.
Okay. Yeah, that was the case. So... As per a couple of news articles, a helper worker on the postmortem, meaning someone who's helping,
mm-hmm.
in the postmortem ward at the government hospital, also shared some facts with the couple's lawyer. So, according to Bhaskar, who's one of the people who was helping alongside, he said that no food particles were found in the stomach of both the deceased girls during the postmortem. So, their stomachs were completely empty and dried up.
That means they had been fed for a while?
So it appeared that they were on a fast.
Okay.
Of at least 3 to 4 days before being murdered.
Being murdered.
So this is what the lawyer had said. And there was also supposedly a kalas stuffed in Alekhya's mouth. Now, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. But it is a small brass pot.
Okay.
So her mouth was open and there was like a pot kept in her mouth for things to be put on the in the pot.
Okay.
Which was on her mouth.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to imagine that.
Yeah, so it's basically her mouth was used as a resting object for the pot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So a lawyer of Purushottam, their name was Nakka Rajini.
Okay.
So they were aiding the senior counsel who was in charge of the case, who was Krishnamma Chari, who managed to speak to Purushottam. And Purushottam had told his lawyers that his elder daughter, Alekhya, had underwent some spiritual training through occult practices when she was living in the remote forest area near Bhopal in Madhya Pradesh.
Okay.
While she was studying for her forestry management. So Purushottam tried to tell his lawyer that basically the older daughter had made the whole family believe that the younger daughter was suffering from some sort of illness.
Okay.
Okay. And could only
But didn't the younger daughter express like signs?
And I think that's why she was trying to leave maybe. Oh. I think maybe... So I have a couple of beliefs. I think... Probably she was going through suicidal thoughts and maybe she needed help. Alekhya probably thought that she has some illness, we need to cure her.
And this was how?
Yeah.
Oh.
And then probably the closer day she was trying to leave also. Probably Alekhya was trying to leave. Sorry, probably. Not Alekhya.
Maybe she was like trying to escape essentially.
Yeah, but again, the only people who know about this
is the family.
Completely. Yeah. So she could only be cured through some sort of performing some sort of special ritual that appeased the almighty god.
Okay.
And all of the four family members were mentally prepared to sacrifice themselves one after the other to try and to get to a form of rebirth in a purer form of Satya Yuga. Yeah. So as they began executing the plan of pujas, again as per Purushottam, the younger daughter Saidevya was the one who was killed first, and then the rest of the families, and then they performed a puja. Later, when it was the time for Alekhya, she was very willing to be killed.
Okay.
By her family, it seems. And then she was hit in the head and by her mother and with the dumbbell repeatedly to break her skull open. And the girl bled to death and she was suffering for about 3 to 4 hours.
Stop. Oh my God.
Yeah. Just to let you know, so by this point, they did take the couple out of the house.
Okay.
Now, and they did keep a police guard at the house just to make sure no intruders came.
Okay.
This is quite a while.
Quite late.
Quite late, yeah. So, now I know you asked me questions about what does Purushottam do? What do these girls do? What is the family background like?
Yeah, because, I mean, you kind of gave us hints of like she went to college in Madhya Pradesh. And yeah, you didn't tell us their ages, I think, did you?
I did. I said she was 27, Alekhya, and 22 was Saidevya.
Oh, okay. That's not too far from
us. I think you're pretty scared about this case.
Yeah, that's why I'm sorry. I'm just like mind effed. Yeah. So that's why I'm like, yeah. I'm sorry to...
I just keep looking at Binon throughout this case because her face is just in shock.
Yeah, I just can't believe it. Yeah. Like, you know, I've heard a lot of these cases happening in India, but every time it is still a shock.
Yeah. Yep, yep.
But like, yeah, get into the family background. I just want to know what they're like. What's their background?
Yeah.
What do the girls do?
Yep. So I'll take us through a couple of the sequence and also about their relatives, all the things that probably came to light throughout the investigation of this.
Okay.
Now, again, whatever I could gather, I've just blurted out here right now for this case. Yeah. So, while Purushottam Naidu hailed from Kondraju, Kalwa in Tavanpally, Mandal. Honestly, this is...
Are these all different names? I don't know what's happening. Are you having a stroke?
So while he hailed from this place, Padmaja was from Chittur town. That is where currently they were staying. And they had both settled in Madanpally 5 years prior.
And this was all in Andhra Pradesh?
Yes.
Okay.
This is all in Andhra Pradesh. Yes. So Purushottam Naidu, he had an MSc, Masters of Science. He had a PhD. And he worked as an associate professor in the chemistry department at a government women's degree college in Madanpally.
So he was like educated.
Yes. So he was also the college vice principal.
Whoa.
Yeah. So his wife Padmaja also was highly educated. So she had a postgraduate degree and a gold medal in MSc mathematics and was a correspondent and principal at a local private school for the last 23 years.
I wasn't aware you could get a gold medal for stuff.
For mathematics?
Yeah.
I mean, some people do get for educational, like...
Okay.
People get Nobel Prizes.
Oh, a Nobel Prize is different from a medal, Melody.
So they both were highly educated and by this time they were in their 50s.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, the eldest daughter, Alekhya, she had completed her master's and she was doing like her postgrad in forest management at the Indian Institute of Forest Management in Bhopal, Madhya Pradesh.
Okay.
And the youngest daughter, Saidevya, 22, was a graduate of a BBA from Bangalore. She also had an interest in singing and playing the guitar. She decided to pursue music as a career by enrolling herself in the KM Music Conservatory of A.R.R. Rehman
Whoa.
In Chennai.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, so I think from what I gather from all of this, the parents were highly educated. They wanted their daughters to learn more and to be independent. That's why both daughters went to completely different places. One of them is in Madhya Pradesh. One of them is in Chennai studying.
And they both are seem to be doing pretty well with what they were interested in.
I mean, that one of their daughters is doing her post-grad. One of them is planning to pursue music. It seems like a family that is open to wanting to have their daughters have the passion of their own.
Yeah.
Not the same thing as what they're doing, chemistry and mathematics. And usually
in
India, like, parents want you to either be a doctor or an engineer.
Yeah. And these girls are doing something completely out of the norm.
Yeah. And their parents are letting them. It's amazing.
Just FYI, we're not doctors or engineers.
Yeah.
Just disappointments.
So both daughters returned back home in Madanpally and were staying with their parents since the COVID lockdown.
Okay.
For a couple of months prior to the incident. So now, just to give a little more context, the family had been living in Prashant Nagar and had recently built a large three-story house, which was worth like crores of money.
Okay.
In Sivanagar, almost 2 hours away.
Okay.
Okay. And they officially moved into their new house on August 14th, 2020.
Okay, so just like about 6 months before
the crime.
The crime.
And if you remember, Padmaja, in the earlier parts I'd mentioned, she mentioned this was a house of miracles.
Yeah.
So this was just 6 months before the incident, exactly as you said. And due to COVID restrictions, they conducted a very small housewarming and they did not invite family members over.
Okay.
So during the lockdown, it was reported that no one had been allowed inside the house for months. As per police reports, neighbors and relatives had stated that the couple had been acting odd since the lockdown began. And after restrictions were lifted, the family still decided to stay in the house. So in the 4 days before the murder, maids were not even allowed into the house, meaning the maids that they had. And the neighbors even said that the girls and their mother had not been out of the house in a very long time and stayed in the house.
But they did let that sadhu into the house.
They did let that sadhu into the house to do the pujas. And if you remember, Purushottam for about a week didn't leave the house.
Didn't leave the house, yeah.
He was the only one going to work.
Yeah.
So by accounts of neighbors and colleagues, the family was very superstitious. Now, the couple were big followers of Meher Baba. Now, I'm going to take us through a little bit of a lesson about who these people are. Because,
okay.
First of all, I didn't know who they are.
So I have no idea.
Yeah. So, Meher Baba was an Indian spiritual master who said he was an avatar or a god in a human form.
Okay. Kind
of Jesus Christ, I'd say.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Of that particular age that was there. And he was a major spiritual figure in the 20th century. He had a following of hundreds of thousands of people, mostly in India, but with a significant number of people who were followers in the US, Europe, and Australia.
Whoa, big money.
Yeah. Sai Baba.
Oh, I've heard him.
Yeah, I've heard of him because I think in Maharashtra, a lot of people do
go to
Sai Baba. So Sai Baba of Shirdi. So he basically is known as Shirdi Sai Baba and was an Indian spiritual master. He was also considered to be like a saint and he's revered by both Hindus and Muslim devotees during and after his lifetime.
Okay.
I didn't know about the Muslim part.
Even I didn't know about that.
Yeah. And the last, Rajneesh or Osho, who was also known as the Acharya Rajneesh Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh.
That's basically like a bunch of gods.
Yeah, and later Osho was an Indian godman who was the founder of the Rajneesh movement. During his lifetime, he was also viewed as controversial in terms of
the new religious movement. During his lifetime, honey, still.
Yeah, in terms of being a religious movement leader and a mythic guru. So the family did regularly visit Shirdi. Now, Shirdi is a pilgrimage site near Maharashtra,
oh,
which is followed by Sai Baba.
Okay.
Okay. And it is considered to be deeply religious, this place.
Okay.
By the Hindu community. So, couple of close relatives of Alikya's parents told the police that Alikya at this time claimed she had brought her pet dog back to life after killing it using her supernatural powers.
Oh no.
So according to police, her parents had said that she had told them that she was the Lord Shiva and her younger sister was Goddess Parvati Devi. Some of the relatives also said that they had heard Saidevi had fallen ill. Mm-hmm. This is a very common thing that most people are saying. And supposedly stepped on something during walking back during the week, which triggered Padmaja and Alikya to plan trying to bring Kali Yuga and everything. Okay. And this was being talked around a lot to ward off the evil forces that were emerging in their house. Now, the parents also believed that they could bring her back to life, and they told most of the relatives this. But everything obviously wasn't being told to the relatives about the daughters.
Yeah.
Right?
Clearly.
Yeah. So Padmaja was said to have gotten delusions by many of the relatives also. And she claimed that she occasionally heard voices and could see her dead father moving around the new house. So neighbors also believed that the parents thought that their daughter was possessed by the evil spirits, because they did tell the neighbors that we think that she's...
Okay.
Yeah. And even a few times they saw the girls out making circles around the house as part of some ritual.
And these were the neighbors that saw them?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So apparently even 4 days before the incident, when Purushottam's colleague had visited the house, Alikya had told him something that was really odd. She told him, "You are like a Buddha. I want to hug you. Take me to your home." And the colleague was obviously shocked and managed to convince her that he could not take her home.
That is, like, I would get scared.
Yeah. Pretty weird detail. Now, since this was in the recent times, Minon, obviously I'm going to take a slight detour and get into social media.
Okay.
Just to understand what it was leading up to the days, because there was a great footprint of evidence that was found on social media of the sequence of events that did occur.
Did she have like a lot of followers and stuff that could tell?
Yeah, so Alikya was an avid user of Instagram. Her posts grew more frequently during COVID. She did post more frequently because she had nothing to do other than reading and networking with people in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
So Alikya did have a few followers on her Instagram page, but just a bit lesser than, let's say, 2K followers.
What? 2K? That's a lot.
Yeah. So she had that many followers that she had with her on her Instagram account.
Okay.
And her account posted, was open.
Sorry. All she posted was like about...
So I'll take you through what would be the post.
Okay.
But just to let you know that after the case had come out, the number of followers had increased to more than 5K.
What? How?
Yeah, so more people started following her after the case to go see her post.
I find it weird that people followed her. Like, yeah. She's going to keep posting.
It's weird. So she had a total of 345 posts. And either the posts were about herself, her family, her friends. Sai Divya's profile, on the other hand, was kept private.
Mm-hmm.
So not much is gathered from her posts. But on the flip side, Alikya's posts also seemed to have poetry that she frequently wrote, which revealed her spiritual inclination and belief in a faith and rebirth.
Okay.
So some of her posts were related to Osho and her dedication and love for Osho. The police had reviewed her posts and were able to understand and see the progression of the state of trance within her beliefs of salvation, and also helped them to understand the sequence of events, like I said. So during the lockdown, she did take to a new hobby, which was reading, to beat her boredom during the lockdown. And as for her parents and social media, it did reveal the sequence of books that she read, which was about 9 books that she read about religion in specific.
Okay.
And more towards the end, it was towards Osho and other sorts of books, which impacted her beliefs to some degree.
Okay.
So on 28 July, Alekhya had written a lengthy post that showed her change in her mindset towards a more spiritual one. So she wrote, "Ever since I started being in a Zen place with my attention, all focus on the current moment. So Zen made me feel I belonged. For it is the most life-affirmative religion I have ever come across. And I have Osho to thank for that." She then orders a photo frame of Osho's picture and posts it on Instagram saying that, "My study area has gotten more beautiful with his smile." So this was in late August. And it was around this time that they had basically moved into the new house also.
I just...
Yeah.
I just feel like...
something's going downhill.
Something's going downhill. Yeah. But also, like, you'd think that she would have seen the Wild Wild Country documentary.
I don't think she would believe it, even if she did see it, probably. I'm not sure if it was out at that time.
Of course good it question. Was. 2021.
So if it was out, I'm not sure if she actually believed. Or maybe that could have been something that made her want to watch it.
Possibly. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I feel like, I know a lot of people that do join. Personally, I don't know. But I know there are a lot of people that do join the Osho cult still.
Hmm.
But...
Osho, the Rajneesh movement.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So, in her post in October, she called herself an Osho lover and a Dhyani of life, for life. She then shared a post on January 5th and stated that her eyesight was improving with her age and that her nearsightedness reduced due to being a meditator, and saying that the positive news never seemed to end and since she had become a meditator now.
Okay.
Her next post on January 15th was, "That messy bun on the top totally helps with Dhyana. It's like a hair pyramid. Now I get why sadhus tie up their hair this way. It's an energy magnet." While sharing a photo of her hair locks alongside a photo of Lord Shiva with basically their hair like in a
bun. At the top, yeah.
Yeah. So the week prior to the incident, Alekhya also posted on January 21st, which was a couple of days before the incident, that Shiva is coming. And then the day after, on January 22nd, another post saying work is done.
Oof.
And she also posted other posts throughout the week that express some, I'm not going to mention, but pretty offensive remarks to other religions on social media.
Okay.
Yeah. So I also did find some weird articles. I did find an article about one of Alekhya's friend from Lucknow, Mrinal Srivastava. And basically in the article, just to give you a gist of it rather than to go over the whole article, she says that she does not believe that these posts were put by Alekhya on her profile, and that Alekhya's profile was actually on private and was not visible, and that someone seemed to have hacked her profile just to make it look bad, and that the police should get on trying to find who the person was who actually did the crime.
That's really weird.
Yeah. So she says that these posts are not what Alekhya had posted, but there is the timeline of obviously when of it was posted, yeah. Right? Like no one can go back and post a photo on the 21st or the 22nd. But she says someone has hacked it and has
what if
not.
It's like her mom or something?
Again, as per the postmortem, their body was, like, dead from that particular day, right?
No, I mean, what if it was the mom who was posting?
I don't think it was the mom because especially, like I said, it was the books that she read also.
Yeah, okay.
There was a lot of the inclination that you could find on social media.
Okay.
But this is one of the things that I just found from one of her friends from college who said this. Again, her friend had only known her for 10 months, so I'm not really sure if her friend had known her long enough to probably believe the details of this.
Yeah.
So in the news also, there was a lot of rumors that were swirling around that Alekhya had murdered her sister and basically Padmaja had killed Alikya. And it seemed like the hospital sources also had said that, had kind of spread these rumors, I think.
Okay.
So, again, I'm not really sure about these sources because they also, like, spelt Sai Divya's name wrong. Like, they said it was Shri Divya.
Which is a completely different name.
Yeah.
Where is your fact checking?
Yeah. So basically, the police were pretty pissed off about this. They were really angry that that someone was spreading this baseless rumors, as they labeled it, and was.
But that's what happens, like, in the media.
Yeah, so they were spreading, like, false rumors about the crime that had happened,
yeah.
That it was Alikya who had done it. And I love this one thing that basically the deputy superintendent of police, Ravi Chauri, says, is that he asked the media channels to maintain restraints and not sensationalize this case further than with just speculations, you know?
I feel like that's the case with any event.
Yeah. But he wanted to give respect to the victims.
Yeah.
So it is really important to remember that both of them had passed away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? So this was something that was said that, and especially there was also the rumors and beliefs of about the dog being resurrected.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So another bizarre part of what had happened in this case is an audio clip that is found online.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely think it would be great when we are able to post also the audio recording on our social media post. Because in the audio recording, so Padmaja was taken to get a COVID test.
Okay.
And her statements in this were pretty shaky and pretty weird. So
was it like offensive?
No. So I'll share some of the statements here. So it is, I'm telling you, coronavirus will go away by March without using vaccines. And that she is the Lord Shiva and that coronavirus came from her body and the hair of Shiva and not from China. So even when being taken by the police, she was very angry at her husband and said, and while her husband was trying to calm her down, she said, right now you are not my husband. I am Shiva. She also shouted at her husband saying, why couldn't you wait basically for another half an hour? If you had kept your faith, our girls would still be alive.
Oh my God. She's basically just putting all the blame on him.
Yeah, she's putting the blame on him in terms of it. So, I mean, it's still quite crazy in terms of like what sort of rumors and everything was being spilled around. So on January 25th, the parents were given time to complete the final rites for their daughters and the cremation while the police and their relatives were assisting with basically the final rites.
Yeah.
So this case was super cut and dry, extremely fast. The police were pretty, it was like, okay, the parents are found here. They're the people who claim that they murdered them. So the police registered the case against both parents as murder charges. And 2 days after the incident was reported, they were brought forward to the local magistrate court on the January 22nd.
To get convicted, okay.
Yeah. So Naidu was named the prime suspect and then Padmaja was named the second suspect.
Wait,
and
how was Naidu the prime suspect?
Exactly.
Wasn't it, didn't Padmaja, he said that she had killed
the doctor. But he was said to be the prime suspect.
That's really weird though.
Yeah, very weird.
Also, like, did Padmaja didn't give a confession, did she?
She was in a frantic state. If you saw, like, the things that she was saying was all over the place. So basically, this was registered under the IPC section 302. As per Indian law, this is the punishment for murder. And Purushottam and Padmaja had basically had a lot of students who they had educated when they're teachers. And these students decided to get legal counsel for the couple. So they got the Krishnamma Chari, the lawyer who had basically been assigned for them. And he was a pretty senior counsel lawyer.
Okay.
Now the couple, soon after meeting with him, they suddenly, for some reason, decided to look for another lawyer who was not as of a senior level and got a Madanpally-based lawyer Mr. Reddy instead of the counsel that was given to them by their students who was more senior. But the court noted a couple of things.
Okay.
The court noted that the police had not filed the charge sheet for more than 90 days for the crime, for basically for them to be arrested and to be kept in jail.
Okay.
Okay.
Wait, and for more than 90 days?
Yeah, so meaning that they needed to fill out certain things for them to be in jail for a certain period of time. They had not done that.
Okay.
And also the issues in the crime where they had made them sit in the crime scene, the investigation.
It's all incompetency.
Yeah. So after all of this had happened, Padmaja was kept in a special barrack because she was completely out of control. And Purushottam was kept in a common cell after the trial. Now, prior to be taken to the government hospital for like a checkup of COVID test.
Yeah.
So like I said, Padmaja had gone into a frantic craze and they had to literally tie her down to take her COVID test.
Oh, man.
Where she started saying all these things about her being Lord Shiva.
Yeah, yeah.
All of that. So they stayed at the Madanpally sub-jail for 15 days under jurisdictional remand. And on the request of the jail superintendent, a team of government psychiatrists was led by Dr. Radhika, were recommended to the jail authorities to basically, you know, come and check out how these people were. And they immediately stated to the jail authorities that these people need to go to a psychiatric facility.
Okay.
And they need treatment and a psychiatric evaluation, especially since Padmaja seemed more disturbed and Purushottam seemed to be in a state of suicidal state and also in depression. So
they might be tried for insanity.
Yeah. No, but the trial's already done.
Oh, so they've been convicted.
Yeah.
How many years did they get?
So let's get into some of this details in terms of where they go, what happens to this. But nothing is mentioned about how long they have to stay. But basically, the psychiatrist comes to the jail and says, hey, these people need a psychiatric evaluation. They are not mentally stable. So during the evaluation, Padmaja kept saying that her daughters would come back to life. Naidu broke down to the doctors and said that my wife Padmaja, who thought that she was Kalika, cut off the elder daughter's tongue and ate it after killing her.
What the hell?
And he also revealed to the doctor that his daughter Alikya thought that she was some form of a god, and told the father that he was a form of Anjuna. Now Anjuna is another god.
Mm-hmm.
And that it was not his job to teach in the college. And he must continue his fight for the spirit of Anjuna that was exhibited in him.
Okay.
So basically that to become a god rather than to continue being a teacher.
Okay.
So Naidu further revealed about the whole beliefs that was there, but he was more proactive in communicating throughout the investigations, even in the psychiatric evaluations that were there. So the government psychiatrist Radhika, who examined them both, did find them highly delusional and felt like the people who triggered these delusions was Padmaja and Alikya, who drove the family to this state, especially since Padmaja's father had died, and after that she started hearing voices. It had ignited some sort of thing that happened in the house. And after that, relatives were also investigated and were also interrogated because there was some assumption of mental illness that was there from them.
Okay, so they wanted to ask about their background.
Yeah, the family
mental
history.
Illness. Okay.
So during these interrogations by the psychiatrist, it came to light that Padmaja's father had also suffered from mental illness.
Okay.
And for the last 20 years, he had been suffering from it. And Padmaja's uncle was suffering from the same thing as Alikya, which was like some sort of thinking of them being godlike.
Okay.
Now, the couple was also basically then admitted to a psychiatric medication. They were given medication for the psychiatric.
But they were still in jail?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, the jail authorities, obviously, after Dr. Radhika said that they need to go to a psychiatric facility, without verifying or getting any approval, they took them to a government hospital in Tirupati.
Okay.
They took them there And then they realize that this facility does not even have the treatment or the facilities to help these patients.
Okay.
So unnecessarily, they took them to Tirupati with tight security and then they were brought back.
That's weird.
Yeah. So it seems the jail's authorities also were facing some sort of problems here because they reached out to the Chittoor Armed Reserve Wing 3 times to try and get an armed van and basically like, you know, a security escort to take them because they were out of control. People were also getting frustrated up with them. So they were finally taken to a facility. So they sat in the jail for till the time that they were able to get clear orders to leave. And okay. once they caught the armored vehicles to leave from there. So the court had advised them to be shifted, but Padmaja and Purushottam continued to cause issues in the jail. And because of the lack of responses, it took a very long time to get them out of the jail and put them into the facility that they were finally approved to be in.
Okay.
So Purushottam and Padmaja were finally moved to the Government Hospital of Mental Care in Vishakhapatnam on February 3rd for treatment. Now, after undergoing treatment for 56 days, I still feel this is a very short period of time, but 56 days, they were discharged from the hospital and moved to Madanpally sub jail.
Okay.
As per the hospital officials, they said that Purushottam and Padmaja both responded to the treatment and recovered. They also expressed their remorse for the crimes that had, and they came to an understanding of what they did. Now, this is what will completely baffle you, and I think I'd like to end off on this note, is...
Okay.
The Madanpally Second Additional District Judge granted bail to the couple on the condition that they would leave town and would appear before the local police station to sign a daily record to ensure their presence.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
That happens? They killed their daughters.
And they spent 56 days.
And they didn't even get so much as a slap on the wrist.
And the judge told them to leave town. Leave town and to sign in every day on a daily register near the police station. And that is where we're going to leave this case.
That sounds like insane. How is that a thing? That cannot be a real thing.
Well, that was a real thing.
Oh my God. Damn, this case was like a lot.
Yeah, so unfortunately there isn't... I still believe that there should be more justice for Sai Divya and for Alekhya.
Yeah, for sure.
What the parents did, even if they felt remorse, they should go through the proper justice system of having to spend time in jail for the crimes that they did.
That's true.
Like, especially after they've come to the understanding that what they did was wrong.
Also, like, if you commit a crime, you have to do your sentence.
If that you do is, the crime, you do the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
But I find that really weird. Like, just leave town. You're banished from town.
Yeah.
You just have to, like, it's essentially...
It sounds like a fictional story.
Yeah.
Like, where you're like, you're banished, and then they just leave.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
So what did you think of today's case, Minon?
Today's case was a lot. There was different beliefs. There was incompetency by the police. There was weirdness from the judge. I don't know. It was a whole thing, honestly.
Yeah. I think one of the things that what really took to me in this case is the beliefs, the psychology of it, the victims. Obviously, Sai Divya was going through something and she needed help.
Yeah, they both were. Like, actually, everyone involved was.
And I definitely... Mental illness is a real thing. And I think anyone who does suffer from any sort of thing that they feel like they're not feeling right, they should go to seek help from somewhere.
Yeah. But of course, in a place like India, where it's not talked about at all, in fact.
And to be honest, COVID also did, I think...
affect a lot of people.
Yeah. Especially, like, there are a lot of... Like, I've heard from a lot of doctors or therapists or psychologists that people during COVID did start having more mental issues and mental illnesses because of being in their house and being all alone and having to interact with the same people all the time.
Yeah.
So that's our case for today.
Yeah, we hope you guys enjoy it. Thanks for tuning in.
Yep. So we hope you enjoyed. Follow us on our Instagram at Spill the Red Rum and check out our website. It's spilltheredrum.com. And check out our website, it's spilltheredrumpodcast.com for updates on new episodes and releases.
Tune in next Monday for your weekly dose of Spill the Red Rum.
Bye-bye.
Bye.